Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Well, thank you to the worship team for such a great set this morning. And thank you to the congregation for being a part of these baptisms. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce our guest speaker, hopefully for the last time. I've never said that ever. But after this, Pastor Martin will be joining us on staff, and we are so excited to have him. So would you guys just stand to your feet and give honor and welcome Pastor Martin all the way from the UK.
Well, thank you, everyone. Go ahead and take a seat. It is great to see you all again. It is always an honor to be here. It's always an honor to be invited anywhere to share God's word. And it's especially an honor this time because rather than me being here as a, well, she still introduced me as a guest speaker, but kind of for the last time, it's a real honor because this, what happened here and being here today, although we're not moving here until January, this is kind of like my first time saying, I would like to introduce you to the pastor of the church at South Edmonton. And when I say an honor, I'm not just using that as a figure of speech. I need to say that the generosity, the love, and the welcome that the council team, the staff team, the volunteers, and those of you in the congregation that I've already got to meet have given to me and to my daughters who are on the front row here has been fantastic. It has really been amazing. I feel honored. You have honored me. And I know for some of you, you've maybe just heard me speak before. We've not really met, or we may have said hello. And that's about it. And you don't really know me. And so I just want to say to you that the fact that I'm coming here to be the pastor here at Case is something that was took us totally by surprise. And God was working behind the scenes to bring this around. Even when we didn't see it, He was working. Even when we didn't feel it, He was working. And God has been working behind the scenes and just took us by surprise. I have been in full-time ministry for over 3 decades at just a handful of churches. I was here in Edmonton. I was the lead pastor of Gateway Alliance Church in the northwest of the city for over 13 years. So I know Edmonton well. I have a heart for Edmonton. And less than 2 years ago, moved back to the UK and presumed I was going to be there for a long time, but then God took us all by surprise. And so in January, one of my daughters already lives in Edmonton. In January, myself and my other daughter are moving back here again. And so I just want you to know that, you know, nobody knows the future, I realize, except God. But as far to the best of my knowledge, I'm making a lifetime commitment to this family here. That's what I'm doing. And I know it's always kind of uncomfortable, or what does the future hold in store when a new pastor comes along and so on. And so I want you to know that I'm not coming here to take over the church. I'm coming here to serve this body. Even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, right? And I'm coming to be part of the team and to just bring my contribution as other people bring their contribution. And together, we will build on the foundation of what God has already done here. That's what we're going to do. And like, I don't think God just makes decisions just for the sake of, he needs a job and they need a pastor. And I don't think that's where it is. I think God's got big plans for this church. That's what I think. I believe he's got big plans. And do you know, a pastor is a shepherd. That's what the word means. The word pastor is just an old-fashioned word for shepherd. And a shepherd leads the flock and feeds the flock. That's the two things a shepherd does. And a good shepherd doesn't lead the flock into danger or into division. A good shepherd leads the flock to still waters and green pastures, right? And I really believe that me coming here is there's not going to be danger. There's not going to be division. There's not going to be a power struggle. There's not going to be a clash of visions. Two visions is division. But instead, there's going to be a unity, because there the Lord commands the blessing. And that's what we're going to see. And so my job, if I can lead you further into the blessings of God for your life, and if I can feed you with the word of God, then I'll be happy. And I will feel like I have achieved the purposes of God. And you know, a church needs to know how to feed people. And you know, sometimes you hear people say, I'm just not being fed in that church. Now, sometimes that's just a cop-out because they're lazy, because they never read the Bible themselves. Smith Wigglesworth said, some people feed their body three hot meals a day and they feed their spirit one cold snack a week, you know. So you do need to feed yourself, but a church does need to feed people. But not just one kind of people, all kinds of people. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a subject that it's a real big subject with me. I talk about it a lot. I even wrote a book about it. It's available on Amazon.ca, okay? And the book's called Secrets of Spiritual Growth. And today I want to talk about stages of spiritual growth. Because a healthy church, a growing church, a thriving church should have people at different stages of spiritual growth. Because there should always be babies being born into the kingdom, and there should always be people growing in their faith, and there should always be people coming to maturity as the spiritual mothers and fathers of the community. So I want to talk today about stages of spiritual growth. And what we find in the New Testament is that there are three unique stages of spiritual growth. And at each of these stages, a different diet is required. About 20 years ago, when I lived in Scotland, I was watching the news on TV one night. When I used to watch the news before I realized it was nothing but government propaganda and switched it off. But in those days, I used to watch it. And I was watching the news, and there was a story, a very heartbreaking story, about a young couple that had been charged with involuntary manslaughter for the death of their baby. And this young couple, they were just teenagers themselves. And they obviously were not very educated, and they came from a background of real poverty, and they had no other family around them to help them, and they didn't know how to look after their baby. And their baby was crying a lot, and so they thought the baby was hungry and the milk was not enough. So they fed their baby ground beef, like shepherd's pie or something like that, like hamburger meat, thinking that they were feeding the baby, and the baby died of salt poisoning. Because a baby is designed to feed on milk, not on strong meat. And it made me think about how different people in a church are all at different stages of their spiritual growth. And they need to be fed the right diet. Little babes in Christ don't need to know about antichrists and demons and all that kind of stuff. They need to know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? So different people are at different stages, and there's three stages, and we find this in the first letter of John. So let's have a look at it on the screen. John says this, John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven through Jesus. That's what they need to know. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Now then he repeats it, changes the words a little bit, but let's read on. He repeats it. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father, because your sins are forgiven because of Jesus, and you have known the Father. Little children. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Three stages of spiritual growth: spiritual children, spiritual youth, spiritual parents. And do you notice that he tells each one of them something different? He doesn't say, I write to you, little children, because you have overcome the evil one. He says, I write to you, young men, who have become strong in the word of God, because you've overcome the evil one. But all three of them are being told something different. There is a different diet that each one of these people needs. Now, I've seen some churches where the whole congregation are baby Christians. They've never really grown in their faith. And I've seen other churches where they're so deep in the Word of God that if you came in off the street, you would not have a clue what they were talking about. I've seen some churches that are so intense, spiritually intense, and so legalistic that a little babe in Christ couldn't even survive in that environment. But I've seen healthy churches where there is room made for people at each of the different stages of spiritual growth. We don't expect too much of one people, but we do encourage other people to grow up in the Lord. I mean, you wouldn't give your toddler the keys to the car or a loaded gun or a bottle of gin because they're not old enough. That's dangerous. They're not old enough to handle that. And so likewise, you don't expect too much of one. I mean, our Father doesn't abandon his children because they mess up. So on the one hand, we don't expect too much, but on the other hand, there does come a time to go on to maturity. And so we want to be a church that always has spiritual babies, people who have just come to know Jesus. They're young children. And we're not going to give them the gun and the bottle of gin and the keys to the car. We're going to give them some toys to play with. We're going to give them a teddy bear and a cuddly toy and a pacifier. You know, we're going to give them the things they need, right? Until it's time for them to go on to maturity. Then there's people that they're ready. I'm hungry for more of God. I want to know His Word. I want some Bible teaching. I want to be an intern. I want to get involved in ministry. I want to serve the Lord. I've got a hunger for knowledge. And we want to feed those people. Have you ever noticed that your teenagers can eat and eat and eat and eat? When I was a teenager, my brother and I were always saying to my mom, when she was going to get groceries, that we wanted potato chips. We wanted her to buy potato chips, and we wanted her to bring them back, you know, with the groceries. And she would say, "I'm not buying them, because when I buy them, you just eat them." Duh. That's what they're for. But what she meant was, you eat them all in 5 minutes, you know. An appetite kicks in at a certain age. And a spiritual appetite kicks in at some point, in which you become hungry to really grapple with God's Word and know what it is you believe. You're fed up watching those wackos on Instagram with their videos and every kind of strange belief and doctrine out there. And you're like, what does the Bible really teach? And then there comes a point in your life where it's not about what you're getting out of the church, but it's about what you're giving to other people. You're parenting other people. You're looking after other people. Let's look at these one at a time. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, spiritual children, they're feeding on the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word, which is the good news, the gospel. Getting grounded in the gospel. He said, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven because of Jesus, and you have come to know the Father." If you're new to the Christian faith, if you're still young in your faith, you don't need to know about the fivefold ministry and how to prophesy and all kinds. You need to know that your sins are forgiven. Totally and completely forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're free. You're clean. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. All your sins are forgiven. Not because of you, because of Jesus. And all your sins are your past sins, your present sins, and even the sins that you're going to commit in the future, because you're going to do it. Because all of our sins were in the future when Jesus died for them, weren't they? And so your sins are forgiven. You need to be grounded in that. And it's not because of you, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Not because of you, but because of the finished work of Jesus. He lived, He died, He rose again. And He paid the price. When Jesus died, He said, "It is finished." In Greek, it's one word, tetelestai, and it means the account is paid in full. Nothing can be added to it, okay? Your sins are forgiven because of Jesus, and you've come to know the Father. You've come to know the Father. You're a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm not afraid of God. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of any of these things. God is my Father. I am His child. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior. Get grounded in that. And so your goal is to really know that your sins are forgiven, to really understand the gospel, and to build a relationship with God as your loving Heavenly Father. Now, I said that some churches keep people, you know, that everyone's a spiritual baby. And that can, I'm going to paint with big brushes here. It's not always true, but very often in some like denominational and mainline churches, the whole congregation might know that Jesus loves them and died for them, but they might not have received a lot more teaching. They're babies for years. But that's, in churches like ours, there's a different problem. Sometimes we rush people through the babyhood stage too fast. You need the word, you need the word, you need to know the word, you need to understand the word. And it can become legalistic. You're scared to open your mouth. You say something, that's not what the word says, you know? And we rush people through and we teach them all kinds of deep truths from Scripture, the meaning of the third toenail on the second foot of the fourth beast of the book of Revelation or something like that, you know? And people who know all these scriptural things, but they're still insecure in their salvation. I once was flicking through the TV channels. Obviously, I watch a lot of TV. This is my second TV illustration. Flicking through the TV channels one day, and I saw a preacher, and it's a preacher that I like. I still like him. But I was watching him, and I thought, oh, I like this guy. I'll listen to him. Big church. And he was preaching about sin and the need to get sin out of your life. And that's good and well. There's a time and a place to encourage people to get the sin out of their life, right? But he was really preaching on this. And then he said something that totally shocked me. He said, I know some of you are uncomfortable with this message. You don't want me preaching this message, but the Lord's laid this message on my heart. And if I don't preach it, I might end up going to hell myself, he said. And I thought, whoa, buddy. Whoa. You're leading thousands of people and you're not even sure about your own salvation? You think that if you mess up this sermon, you might go to hell. You think that your sins are forgiven based on your performance. Your sins are forgiven because of Jesus. And if you mess up 100 sermons, you'll still get into heaven because of Jesus. Now, you might not get, well done, good and faithful servant. You might get, well, you messed that up, buddy, didn't you? But thank God for Jesus. Come on in to the kingdom. Our salvation, and I thought to myself, that guy, he's gifted, he's anointed, he's called, he knows the Bible, but somebody rushed him through this babyhood stage. Somehow he never got grounded in the fact that his sins are totally and completely forgiven regardless of his performance. And that God is his Father, and that just because he's got a messy diaper, the Father's not going to abandon him. God will still be his Father. And that God is not looking for a reason to exclude him from the kingdom. It's not the severity of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. If you've got doubts about that, about your salvation and about your standing with God and about whether God loves you or not, can I encourage you to feast on the milk of the word? Look at the next slide. Let's go to the next slide. 1 Peter 2, it says, be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it, you may grow up into salvation. As the scripture says, you have found out for yourself how angry and unpredictable the Lord is. It's not what it says, is it? You have found out for yourself how kind the Lord is. Get grounded in the gospel, in the good news that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son for you. And now that you have believed in him, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. Okay. Now, once you've been drinking milk for a long time, you begin to develop an appetite for something else. I remember a number of years ago, I was really struggling. I was really underweight, and I was really struggling with it. My metabolism was way too high, and I was trying to find a way to put on weight, and I came across a diet called the GoMad diet. GoMad. The GoMad diet. It's for putting on weight. GoMad stands for gallon of milk a day. Well, I lasted like a week and a half. I mean, it was like trying to drink a gallon of milk a day. And eventually I thought, I'm going to the keg for a steak. That's what I'm going to. I had an appetite, not for milk, but for meat. And that takes us. Oh, before we go there, quick, next slide. I want to say this. Next slide. The two main goals of the spiritual childhood season are coming to know the Father and assurance that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus. Okay, next slide. Spiritual youth, feeding on solid food, on the meat of the word, right? And that's understanding the teachings of Scripture. He says, you are strong in the word of God and in overcoming the evil one. Now, overcoming the evil one, I've added in your lives. Because it's not your job to defeat the devil. Jesus has already done that for us. He's bound the strong man. He's defeated the devil. He's spoiled principalities and powers. It is done. But sometimes the enemy has access to our lives. So sometimes we have not overcome the issues in our own life that the evil one can get access to and can take advantage of. Do you know, it says in Ephesians, do not give any place to the devil. And that word place in Greek, it's topos, and it's where we get the word topography. You know, when you're looking at a map, there's the topography. There's hills and valleys and lakes and plains. That's the topography of the map. And what it's saying is, do not give any internal real estate to the devil. Don't even give him a little valley, a little stone, a little part of your internal map of reality. Don't give him any of it. And Jesus said, the evil one comes, but he has nothing in me. And so this is what we call sanctification. It is finding the unresolved areas of our life that the enemy can take advantage of. You don't need to rebuke the devil on the outside of you. You need to bring these things to the foot of the cross that are on the inside of you. And then when Mr. Devil comes knocking at the door, the evil one may come, but he finds nothing in you. So part of this spiritual youth journey is growing in sanctification, dealing with the things that didn't matter when you were a spiritual baby. It's time to deal with them. Because if you don't, they will trip you up further down the road. They will trip you up. And also growing in faith. You are strong in the word of God. I want to know what I believe. I want to know why I believe it. I want to know what Scripture truly teaches. Let's look at the next slide where it talks about that. Hebrews, it says this in chapter 5. There is much more that we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Elbow the person next to you. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word, the basic things, the milk. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food, the meat of the word, solid food, is for those who are becoming mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Becoming mature in your faith, becoming strong in your faith, and growing in sanctification, saying, that's wrong, I don't want it in my life, but that's right, that's the way I want to go now. That is a phase in our life as well. And the purpose of this, let's look at the next slide, the purpose of this, the two main goals of the spiritual youth season are becoming strong in the word of God and overcoming the works of the evil one. Now, there's two dangers here as well. You're not supposed to stay at this stage the rest of your life either. If you do, if you're just focused on becoming strong in the word of God, becoming strong in the word of God, eventually, people can become legalistic. It can end up in legalism. You know, it's like, oh, we've dug into this passage for 10 years, but let's keep digging. Let's find some other meaning in it that we haven't found yet. You know, see when you're drilling, when you strike oil, stop drilling. But some people keep drilling till they get to the lava, you know. You're not wanting that. And so watch out for legalism. And the other danger is some people become so focused on overcoming the works of the evil one that everything's about the devil, the enemy, demons. The enemy did this. The enemy did that. Oh, I ran out of gas. That was the enemy attacking me. No, that wasn't the enemy attacking you. There's a gas station on every corner. You could have put gas in it. It's nothing to do with the enemy, right? Everything's a demon, you know. Everything's allergies. Oh, can you cast that demon of allergies here? You know, here's a Claritin that will do the job for you. Okay, and so we can become focused on the devil, or we can become legalistic with the word if we don't go on and grow to become a parent who is blessing and serving others in the church. Let's look at the last one. Spiritual parents, feeding on the bread. Now you might think, what, you go from milk to meat and then to bread? Yeah, bread is the daily word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread is, you know, give us this day our daily bread. By this stage, you know what you believe. You know why you believe it. You know the Bible. You could teach the Bible, but you still need that daily word from God, that ongoing feeding from the Lord. He said, I write to you, fathers, for you have known him who is from the beginning. And what that means, that if we were to unpack, if I could do like the Amplified translation, not the real one, but my own Amplified translation from the Greek, it would say this: you have a deep experiential knowledge of God and have walked with him for a long period of time. You've experienced his faithfulness. You've been through good times and bad times. When you look at the spiritual youth and when you look at the spiritual infants, you've been through everything that they're going through. Now, sometimes people get to a stage where they say, oh, I don't get anything out of church anymore. I don't need to go to church anymore. And people drop out of church at this stage. It's not about whether you get something out of it. It's about whether you can give something into it. To quote JFK, ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. Right? And so, I mean, that's when you're a parent and, you know, the baby, you see, oh, the baby's crying again. I'm not getting anything out of this parenthood. I'm off. You don't do that. You're there for the baby now. And some of you need to realize you're here for the body of Christ, for other people. Next slide. Next one. Look, Psalm 103, Matthew 4:4. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. You know, some people are learning the deeds of God, but those who have walked with the Lord for a long time have come to know his character. And they're now feeding on the preceding word of God. Last slide, and then we're going to pray. The two main goals of the spiritual parent season are developing a deep, personal, experiential relationship with God and doing something meaningful with the rest of your life. Fulfilling your purpose is part of God's great plan. Now, I can't just lay hands on you and make you spiritually mature. It's a process. But we can pray and we can dedicate ourselves to God, can't we? So why don't we stand together? The worship team are coming back up. And I want to just lead us in a prayer. Maybe you're here today and you don't even really know for sure whether you're a Christian or not. Well, if you say this prayer, you can give your life to Christ for the first time today. And then if you are a believer, wherever you are in your journey of faith, let's dedicate our lives afresh to God. Ask him to work in us and to mature us and to take us on to the next stage in our journey. Come on, let's close our eyes. Let's put our hands out in front of us. We're receiving a gift from God. And let's say together, Father God, today I place my life in your hands. Cleanse me afresh. Fill me afresh. Take my life and make it what you want it to be. Lead me in the way of Jesus, in the path before me, that I may become the person you're calling me to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Martin, for such a timely word. We actually just finished studying that scripture in our Bible study. So maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't, but that was a great way for us to wrap up our Bible study, was to hear a word on it. And I do have one question that you didn't cover. So if you don't get the gin when you're a baby, I'm just wondering if it comes in the other stages. I'm not asking for me, I'm asking for a friend. For a friend, yeah, it's not me. Oh, when you're the pastor, okay, no, that makes sense. Christmas is coming. Well, everyone, I just want to thank you for joining us. And if you are friends or family of the people who were baptized today, we have refreshments in the lounge after this service. We would love for you to stick around and meet some of us. We want to meet you. And just like we always do at the end of every service, I want to leave you with the priestly benediction. So if you know it, you can say it with me. And if you want to receive it, just hold out your hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Have a great week, everyone. We will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.